Thank you. Praise the Lord, church. It is good to be in the house with you today, tonight. It is so good to see everyone here. I know, I'd say about every one of you. First of all, I'd like to give honor to your pastor and his wife. They are having a much needed vacation in the tribulation land of Florida. And they may or may not be watching if we are live today, but they deserve a round of applause, a hand clap. Amen. They deserve a vacation, and it is testament to you all and also to his leadership that you are here when he is not here. I want to say that with all respect and honor. When your pastor is gone and you show up to church, that is a testament to your dedication as well. So you deserve a hand clap. I want to give honor to the rest of the leadership team as well. It is no small feat to be here on a midweek evening when our work schedule is so busy. We just came through a holiday season. We still have one more holiday left, and we are here on a Tuesday night. I almost said Thursday night because I'm used to Thursday nights, but can you believe that we're here on a Tuesday night? It is good to be here. Amen. Amen. I won't keep you standing too long. I want to turn our direction to Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. And I use the NIV version sometimes through my notes and also the King James version, so follow along with whatever version you have access to right now. Verse 8, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon." These people are telling King Nebuchadnezzar, the people you have set over in charge of your people are not serving your God. They're being tattletales right now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They're really tattling on them right now. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Verse 13, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Question mark. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. He's giving you conditions right now. In this world, we have conditions that things will happen that are good for us if we compromise our beliefs. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? He's challenging God. He's challenging these young boys' faith right now. Then in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. And this is where I like it. This is how I read it in my good old Sheridan attitude here. Maybe they swell up a little bit. They say, "You don't know who my God is." They say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter, but we will. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us." This is important. They say, he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They say that there's a possibility they can be saved from the furnace, but ultimately they're being saved from King Nebuchadnezzar's hand. And then the focus verse here, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." If you're going to help me preach today, help me pray. I want to receive a word tonight. I want this seed to set forth like Sister McKee said. Scripture goes forth. We plant the seed, Apollos waters, and God gives the increase. Let's pray, church. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the congregation that's here tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd use me as your instrument and your vessel, that I would be able to your word would take hold of your people tonight. Help us to receive a word from you tonight in your name. You can be seated if you say amen. And I would be remiss if I did not say thank you for welcoming my beautiful wife and my handsome son with me tonight. It is so good to have them with me. They are not strange faces to anyone here, I'm sure. And thank you for loving all of us. There's a story that I heard, thank you, music, about a young lady whose father was teaching her to drive, and her father took her to the high school parking lot. We've all been in the high school parking lot learning to drive. And on this particular trip, her three-year-old sister rode along in the back seat. This lesson was far more difficult than the other days so far. On the first lap, she drove up onto the curb. We've all done it. She was trying to take a tight turn, and she drove up on a curb. A few moments later, she did it again. After a couple more of these mistakes and a near miss with the light pole in the middle of the parking lot, she hears a small voice in the back seat. God is good, and God is great. Let us thank him for this food. The girl driving slammed on the brakes, turned around to the back seat, and asked her sister, "What are you talking about?" Her little sister replied, "You're scaring me. And I felt like I needed to pray, but that was the only prayer that I know." Church, sometimes in our limited knowledge, the words that we have are the only words that we know. What we want to say comes through as what we know to say. We don't know what to pray sometimes. There are some times that come against us that we don't understand. There are times this past year, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why are these happening to my friends? In my limited knowledge, shows a little blip on God's radar. And what he knows, his knowledge is unfathomable. It's no limit. What he knows surpasses what I know. Although God has a plan for me, I like to think that I have control of my life. You can go look back through my notebooks for the past 10, 15 years, and I have plans. I have plans for things that I would like to have. One of them being was I was going to graduate college and buy myself an Audi. First of all, I never graduated college, so I was never able to take that plan into action. We've all had plans that don't work well for us, amen? We don't have the ability to see what God sees or understand why we're going through what we're going through, but God knows. Mr. Salomon, I know I didn't give these scriptures to you. I'm going to hit them rapid fire, so you don't have to turn there. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." We don't see clearly all the time. I would argue never. We're lucky if we can see the next day. The only reason I know what I'm doing at work tomorrow is because they tell me what I'm doing at work tomorrow. But I don't know what's going to happen from now until then. We don't see clearly all the time. We only know and see partly of what God allows us to see. We want to see what God's plan is for us, but we don't always get to that point. There's no way we can see perfectly. Well, the easy answer is unless we pray, unless we study God's word, unless we go to church, unless we have a relationship with him. Whether we like it or not, we don't have perfect vision. I have to wear contacts to see remotely anything. So vision is not at our forefront. It is not our number one skill, especially when it comes to the spiritual realm. Sometimes trials and problems come into our lives and we're left looking, what just happened? We're left looking at them and wondering, why in the world are they here? And we ask God, why is this happening to me? We pray for healing, but it doesn't come. We pray for the situations to change. We pray for the storm to pass so we can have the sunshine, but it doesn't always happen. And we feel like our prayers come unanswered. I want to ask you a very difficult question tonight. What will you do if the answer comes, but you don't like the answer? What if it's not what you want? What if God says no? What if God chooses not to deliver you? What if he chooses not to heal you? What if he chooses not to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from that furnace? Well, they said it. They said, Our God is able to deliver us from this king. But if he doesn't, guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to kneel for your statue, king. You don't scare us because my God is bigger than your God. So I want to challenge all of us tonight. Some of us, me, need to come to the understanding that God is able, but he may not do it the way we want it to happen. He can heal, but he may not. He can bless us financially, but he may not. What are we going to do if that doesn't happen? But if not, I'm going to serve God. If he doesn't bless me financially, I'm still going to go to church. I'm going to give in the offering. You know what? I'm going to pray. If he doesn't, I still love him. If he doesn't, I still trust him. If he doesn't, I will still serve him. A lot of my friends growing up, they no longer serve God because their relationship was built on what can you do for me? It's not about what I can do here. The Bible says that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Not reverse. We don't wait on God to bless us. We bless him. And then he blesses us. You see, you've heard the story of these three Hebrew boys over and over and over again. And this is nothing new. In fact, if you try to preach a new word, you won't. You can go on YouTube and you'll find 100 different titles. Because the word has been preached before. But sometimes we need a reminder. Sometimes we need a little push in the right direction. Sometimes we need to come to the grip and the realization that, man, I've been serving God for so long and so long. What if he doesn't do this? Am I going to be thrown off the tracks? What's going to happen next? Preachers have preached this until they've been blue in the face. They've preached this until they sweat all over the front row. It's a splash zone at that point. They've preached this and taught this in Sunday school until we can almost quote it word for word. They even made a VeggieTale movie about it. It's about the chocolate bunny. They're not going to bow down and serve the chocolate bunny. They're not going to serve this king's image. These three boys, they looked into the face of what seemed to be their impending doom and said, we know that God is able to deliver us out of this fiery furnace. We know that God could send an angel from heaven to deliver us. We know that God could defend us. We know God could snap his fingers and we would be light years away. We know that our God could, King Nebuchadnezzar. We know that he could and he's able. We know the same God that parted the Red Sea could. We know the same God that died on the cross for us could. They had this track record with God, that God has kept his word all the way up until this point. And they're not doubting that God won't keep his word, but they're prepared. They are prepared to move forward if God doesn't. Some of us need to understand that when God doesn't work in our lives, we still need to serve him. We still need to go to church. That's not even in my message. I'm not here to tell you to go to church. I'm telling you to have a relationship with God. Because I can tell you 100 times over that any time in my life when I doubt, I go back to God. And guess what? Sometimes he doesn't deliver me. Sometimes he doesn't bless me. But guess what? Because you keep trucking. You take one step at a time. One step at a time. God, I still serve you. I'm still going to praise you. I don't care if you don't bless me. I'm still going to serve you. Amen? We have to serve God no matter what. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know the outcome of the situation they were in. They couldn't see what the next step was. They were looking into that dark, cloudy mirror. They looked in the face of their impending doom, and they said, you know what? God's done it before. Okay, if it doesn't happen, at least I'm going to see him sooner. They could have bowed out. They could have said, you know what? You're right. Let me kneel down and worship this golden image. What do you think that would have done to their relationship with God? They would have had this great awakening, if you will. And I'm treading lightly. A great awakening to where, wow, they see a bunch of new things. Wow, it sure looks different when we're worshiping someone else. But as they go down that road, it'll get bumpier and it'll get darker. And then one compromise leads to another compromise, leads to another compromise, leads to their eventual walking away from God. So they made a decision, I will serve God. Maybe this message is for one person or all of us. Someone here, probably me, needs to settle somewhere in my spirit and search it out and say, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. Sometimes we just need to go on record and say, God, no matter what happens, no matter what it takes, I'm still going to serve you. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And then we start getting into the minutia. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar did offer us this nice food. He did offer us this nice fruit. And we did choose not to eat those, and we chose to eat the rinds of the fruit, and we skipped the meat and the cheese. So we are a little hungry. What if we compromise just a little bit, Shadrach? And Abednego says, no, we can't do that. Do you know what will happen when we do that? We take that meat and cheese and we take that fruit, and then he owns us. We're marked. So they said, if I die in the furnace, so be it. That's all right, because I'm going to wake up in glory. You see, if I skip out on everything in the world, but I hold fast to God, and I hold fast to his word, and I trust him, and I follow him, and I miss out on all this other stuff, maybe that's okay. Maybe it's okay that I don't follow the world. Maybe it's okay if I don't do this. We all know what I'm talking about. As soon as we talk like this, we are pricked in our hearts and we know exactly what God is telling us to follow and what not to follow. If I don't receive a blessing, I'm still going to serve God. I'll still believe God is on the throne. I don't need to receive anything to know this, because God still has me in his hands. My God is the provider, capital P. He is the deliverer, capital D. The protector, capital P. The healer, my high tower. But if he lets me go through this fire, that's okay, because he's still God. I'm holding back on hitting this pulpit. We have a wooden one back at church. I do not want to break this while your pastor's gone. So I'll walk away. Think of Job and his story, right? Job had to be the most confused man in the entire world. He was God's man. Here's a man who the Bible says loved God and hated evil. That's all that he asks. Love God, hate evil. Here's a man who was well respected in his community, and beyond that, he was the man. People knew who he was and respected him. He had connections. He was blessed. He was highly favored in heaven. His life was the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28, where God promised that if a person would listen to his commandments and do them, they would be blessed. That passage gives these promises to those who remained faithful. We don't have to turn there. Blessed shall be thou in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Sounds good so far. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. That sounds good. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hands upon, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Job was all of that. He was the guy. So why did God let this happen to him? Job was blessed because he loved God. He obeyed his commandments. But all of a sudden, snap of a fingers, it all changed. You know, I always think, you know, God and the devil were having a little talk. And, you know, it's true, probably, I'd say. The devil said, let me have Job. God said, no, you can't have him. Further on in the conversation, let me have Job. Let me take this. Let me take everything he has. And God, confident in Job, said, okay, we'll see what Job does. Job could have walked away after losing his wife, his family, his farm, his land, his profits, his wealth. He could have walked away. His friends walked away from him. His wife said, curse God and die. That's what she said. All of this wasn't in the brochure, I'm sure, of serving God, of what Job had read so far. He didn't backslide. He didn't skip a service here and there. He didn't start getting a bad attitude towards people. He didn't start going on social media and posting, well, God didn't move in today's church service. Okay. He didn't stop reading his Bible. He didn't say, well, God messed up here, so I'm done. Tossing in the towel. Just game over. No, that's not what he did. Job was faithful. Job could have thought, you know, I'm supposed to be blessed in the morning. I'm supposed to be blessed in the afternoon and in the evening. When I come in and when I go out, I'm supposed to be blessed. I didn't read anywhere in here where I'm supposed to lose all of this. I didn't read anywhere that I'm supposed to have adversity here. I can imagine everyone was asking him, what happened? And everyone on the side was probably thinking, oh, Job done messed up. They're probably thinking, because you know how we are. We're humans. We'll say, oh, he did something. He's a bad person. Man, God really hates him. When all in the background, God knows that Job won't walk away. God knows that Job is faithful and he is true. That he's strong and he's stout in his faith. The Bible says that Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job's friends wanted him to complain. They wanted Job to turn his back and walk out on God. Job knew that even though he couldn't see what God was doing in his life, that he would still trust him. Job told his friends, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How many of you ever feel like, let's be honest, we felt like God doesn't see us anymore? We felt like we have been, as you say, in the molly grubs, and God isn't in the molly grubs. You know, Brother Schultz, Caleb Schultz, there's three of you here, four of you here. You know, God created the molly grubs. You know, at the bare minimum, God had Job's back, and he still served him. He had every opportunity to walk away, but he still served him. What about John the Baptist? He was in prison, but he was the forerunner of Christ, but he's in prison now. He was the victim of a jealous woman with a Jezebel spirit. He was a victim of an opportunist. Do you know that when we serve God, we look like a victim to some things? Back in the medieval days, I do an unhealthy amount of research and on useless facts. You can ask my wife. Back in the medieval days, they would have these shields, and part of the battle tactics would be that the enemy would have their archers, and they would line up and they would pull back their bow and shoot arrows and rain down on their enemy. And those soldiers would bring up their shield, and they would try to block all of these arrows. Sometimes that's how it feels like when we serve God. I'm not here to sparse any words. I'm here to deliver what God told me to deliver. Sometimes when we serve God, it seems like we are getting shot from every single angle. There are arrows falling on us so dark that we can't see the sky. Do you know that when it stops raining, you can look at that shield and see how many times God has saved us? You can see how many times that God has protected you. John the Baptist was sitting in a prison cell waiting to have his head cut off because he was in a bad situation. Someone did not want him. They wanted his head on a silver platter. But he was the forerunner of Christ. He was a prominent person. He was baptizing people in the name of Jesus. He baptized Jesus. And here he is, about ready to have his head cut off. It's safe to say that this wasn't in the brochure that John the Baptist read. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but on the other hand, he didn't understand what was going on. Jesus, or John, was like the disciples. They knew that the Messiah was going to deliver his people, but they didn't understand that he wasn't going to deliver them from Rome. And if you look back in the Bible and history, Rome is very much like the world today. You have the church, and then you have Rome, the constant evil, the constant battle that's going on. Just like the Hebrew boys, they're going to be delivered, but they may not be delivered from Rome. John thought Jesus would set up the kingdom on earth. They expected him to rule and reign on the earth. They expected strength and political power. But Jesus came in meekness and humility. John said, you know what? I'm in jail and I'm going to have my head cut off. And I know God can save me because he says it. And he's good and he's merciful. But if not, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to follow through with this. I'm going to serve God no matter what the cost. What John was really asking was, are you going to deliver me or not? What's interesting is how Jesus answered without giving a yes or a no answer. And this is what we need to pay attention to. He said, this is what Jesus told the disciples once John told them to go ask Jesus what was up. This is what Jesus said. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's most interesting is what Jesus didn't say. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61, which says that the Messiah is anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, comfort those who mourn, and give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And Jesus knew that John was familiar with these scriptures. God will talk to you on your own level. He will talk to you based on your understanding of his word. So what he talks to me isn't going to be what he talks to you on, okay? So we need to understand this. Jesus is talking to John based on his understanding of the scripture. Isaiah also said, he will open the prison doors to them that are bound. Basically, what Jesus was telling him, John, you and I both know that I can open those doors for you. I can save you from that trial. I can bless you financially. I can give you what you want. But it's not going to happen all the time. Jesus said, John, I can save you. But in this case, I'm not. What are we going to do with that answer? John, can you hear that and not be offended? Can you hear that and still serve me, John? Can you hear that and still come through to church? Can you follow me to heaven? Because blessed is he that can take no for an answer and not be offended. Blessed is he that can sit in his prison cell and say, I know that if Jesus so desired, he could storm this prison and deliver me. But if not, I won't be offended. I'm not going to wake up on a Monday and say, well, God didn't touch me here, so I'm not going to church on Tuesday. I'm not going to go to church on Thursday. Well, God didn't listen here. He didn't make me cry here. He didn't give me the heebie-jeebies in the altar today. I'm still going to go to church. Hebrews 11 is the portfolio of the faithful. If you've never read it, I encourage you to do so. Verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. If we stopped right there, church, then we could rejoice and be happy. and be thankful. But in the same set of scriptures, without taking a breath, Paul continues. This is what happens when you serve God. We need to be prepared for the time that God does not answer our prayer. And this is not meant to say that God doesn't answer prayers, because we've just read in his word that he does. We are here breathing. I look across this sanctuary and I've heard of miracles happen in BBA. And I rejoice with you and I am happy for you and I pray for you. Just because we go to a different church doesn't mean we don't love you and we don't pray for you, because we are one church. If you look closely, you realize that all of them were good Christians. We can all be good Christians. We can all take our Bible to church. We can all dress real nice, have nice cologne, perfume on. We can be good Christians. They had all received a good report. We can check off the boxes. They kept the commandments, okay? And none of them had sinned. So why is Paul telling us that they will have good times and bad times? Because he says this: some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And finally, in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Church, sometimes we're going to be commended for our faith, and we're not going to receive that blessing. Because some had the lion's mouth shut up, and others were stoned, while some had their children brought back to life, others were tortured. God is able to suppress the violence of fire, but sometimes he chooses to let it burn. God is able to turn the enemy away, but sometimes he lets them attack you. And blessed are we who are not offended in him. Blessed are we who say, I know God can, but if he doesn't, if he's not going to, but if not, I'm still going to serve him. There's a theme here. If God doesn't, I'm going to serve him. If I walk out of this door and I lose everything, I know God can give it back to me, but if he doesn't, I'm going to serve God. I remember growing up, and oftentimes in my present life, I will ask people why certain things happen. And I'm genuinely curious. Why did this happen? When I was younger, it was more adolescent ignorance. Why did this happen? And now I start to see things as I get older, and I understand, and I start to notice things. And those people that I would ask will sometimes tell me why, or they will simply tell me they don't know. They often said ignorance is bliss. I'm not a fan of that. I like to know everything. That's why I got into my trade. I want to figure things out. I don't like to walk away and say, I don't know. They say ignorance is bliss, and I should accept that it just happened. I have a tough time being okay with that. So when I was praying and preparing for this message, and God said, you need to preach on, but if not, I said, no, because I don't like that. God, I don't want to preach about this because I don't like hearing it. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The word faith means to have confidence or to trust. The Bible tells us right there that if we do not trust God, then we are not obeying his word. The very crux of this message is to trust God, even if he doesn't come through the way we want him to come through. In the middle of the storm, I will trust him. I don't necessarily like the valley, but I'm going to trust him. I don't really like this trial that I'm in right now. I don't like bashing my head against this brick wall, but I'm going to trust him. I don't like when I'm praying and I know God can hear me because I feel him, but I don't like that he hasn't blessed me yet. I don't like it. When I'm at the altar, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God, why don't you give me what I want? Why don't you hear me? Why don't you bless me, God? You say in your word that if I keep your commandments, then you'll bless me. You say if I knock, then the door will be answered. If I ask, you, then I'll receive. Why isn't this happening to me? And then the world, our friends and family, meaning well, they mean well. They say, keep praying, have faith. And then here we are, just worn out, dragging our feet, just barely surviving, and they say, have faith. Okay. We need to come to the fact, to come to the understanding, and make up in our mind and put on record today, tonight, that I know God can do it, but if he doesn't, I'm still going to be here tomorrow. I'm still going to be here Sunday. I'm going to be here next to you, my brother and sister, because I'm not going to give up. Because you know what that does for that person? They could be going through the same thing. And they are one service away from walking away. They are one decision, one unanswered prayer from walking away. But through your strength, they will hold on. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. Not the prayer that says, God, please get me out of this valley. But the prayer that goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But if not, still I will trust you, God. This is the word that I was given tonight, church. If the music could come, we're going to wrap up here. But this is the word that I was given. This is the word that we need to take home, not because I preached it, because forget me, but because it's the word that was brought forth. If not, God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to love you no matter what. If I don't ever get what I want, I'm still going to serve you. Maybe our spiritual walk is dry and we feel stranded in the wilderness. Maybe it seems like the windows of heaven are shut tight and no signs of opening soon. God hears you and he is right next to you. Don't give up. If we could stand. Each of these individuals that I mentioned earlier, they all had the same mindset. Quitting was not an option. Walking away from God was not an option. There was no option to sit on the fence and debate which side to jump off on. They were on the right side. I think it's time that we make a decision wherever you are, that regardless of the situation that we are in, or the trial that we're facing, or the trouble that we see in front of us, or the storm that's raging around us, that we make up our mind that I'm going to serve God. Whatever happens against us, whatever happens to us, I will serve God. Because I'll tell you, I've seen some people that were very strong on the outside, and they're no longer serving God. And I pray for them, and I pray for them, and I ask them, what happened? And they get mad at me saying, God didn't answer me. God didn't hear me. They blame God for everything, when really it was their false faith. Really, it was them. Because just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were about ready to go into the furnace. And they did go into the furnace. You know what happened? Not a strand of their clothing was singed. Not a follicle of hair was burnt. It's because they trusted God and they believed what God said in his word. They knew that no matter what King Nebuchadnezzar came against them, that their God was bigger. No matter what the doctor tells you, God is bigger. No matter what the bank tells you, God is bigger. No matter what your job tells you, God is bigger. No matter what the world tells you, God is bigger. I have more notes, but I don't need to go through them. These altars are open. They are more than welcome for you to come. come and make a commitment, or you can make a commitment where you are. But I challenge you tonight. Don't just hear the word. Believe it. Buy it. Sell it not. I challenge you to take it to heart and say, God, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve you. I don't care what happens to me, God. You can put me in a furnace and I'm going to serve you. Because that's what the Hebrew boys did. That's what the Hall of Faith did. That's what John the Baptist did and Job did. Why can't we do the same? Worship with us and pray. And I challenge you, I urge you to make it right with God tonight and say, God, I won't leave you because I know you won't leave me.